In church history, we could have many examples. I'll give you just one here from Martin Luther. Back in the 1500s, Martin Luther was threatened by the government. He took the papal bull of his excommunication and he publicly burned it. That's Martin Luther. He burned it. They excommunicated him. He immediately went into hiding at the Wartburg Castle, under the protection of Elector Frederick of Saxony. That's obstruction of justice. That's evading arrest. Martin Luther did that to the glory of God.
On the word of God, I will build my house. I will build my house.
Welcome, Grounded. I'm Steve Hartland, Senior Pastor at Cornerstone Community Church in Joppa, Maryland, and I'm delighted to have you as a guest today. Our topic is one you're just going to love. Everything about you is going to love it. The topic is biblical submission. It's submission, which, let's face it, the flesh doesn't like. The world doesn't like. Pride doesn't like. Self doesn't like. But in Christ, you have to. You're not in Christ unless you love submission. Because what did you do to come to Christ? You bowed the knee and you confessed Jesus as Lord and you humbled yourself before him and said, I need you, O my Lord and my God. Please have grace and mercy upon me, a sinner. So submission is like really part of the Christian life, really part of what's in your soul when you become a believer. You become submissive to God, and that has ramifications in human relationships that filters down into, that flows down into submission to certain people and relationships that God designates as such. Let me tell you what happened to me when I was saved. So I was 17, heard the gospel. Boom, believed. Now I'm a new creature in Christ. Old things passed away, all things became new. And really, I think I had a very submissive nature toward my parents. In fact, my sister disturbed me because she would fight them for stuff, man. And I was like, why do you fight them? Let's be nice to them. They're wonderful. So I just naturally had a pretty submissive spirit. But I want you to understand as I get into this that my parents were not believers. Christ had not yet conquered their souls until my mother, about when I came to Christ when I was 17, and my father 3 or 4 years later. So I was not raised in a godly home. In fact, I was a Benjamin Spock baby. How many of you will remember Benjamin Spock? He was all the rage for parenting back in that day. I can remember the volume. It's about that thick. It was pink. The cover had pink on it. I'm sure it does. We can't trust our ancient memories, but I'm sure it does. And it resided in an antique dry sink that we had in our living room. So I would see that book all the time. I don't know why he wrote a whole book that thick, because the message of the book was basically, let them do what they want. They'll come out all right. And so that was my parents' philosophy of raising children. There was lots of love, lots of grace, and not much to really submit to. It was very permissive, pretty much do what you want. And you didn't even get in trouble for doing things that like maybe got you in trouble at school, but didn't get you in trouble with your parents. So it was hard to be submissive. There wasn't much really to submit to. And I'm not downgrading my parents. They were wonderful. I'm just saying they weren't believers. They didn't know I'm supposed to be submissive to them. Then I get saved. I start reading the Bible, and immediately I read, children, obey your parents and the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, for this is the first commandment with a promise, that it may be well with you and that you may live long upon the earth. And I thought, oh, there's a command directly to me, a son. I have a father. I have a mother. Here's the will of God for me in Christ Jesus. And immediately I wanted to be the absolute most submissive son on the planet. And it's not that I hadn't been submissive, because there wasn't much to submit to. But I realized if there had been a lot to submit to, maybe I would have balked at it sometimes. Maybe I would have chafed. And all of a sudden, I realized my heart has changed toward my parents, especially my father. He's not in Christ yet. I want him to see the grace of God and the changing power of the Holy Spirit and the Word in my life with the hope that it might lure him to Christ, that it might bring him to Christ, that he might say, wow, look what Christ has done to my son. So to win my father, but also just because it was right and it was now in my heart. My heart submitted to Christ, and so it's submitted to his will. I wanted to be the most submissive, obedient, dad-pleasing, mom-pleasing young man on the planet. Doubt if I succeeded at that. Won't ever know, will I? But our age doesn't like submission. The spirit of our world, which is under Satan, doesn't like submission. Satan doesn't like submission. Remember in Isaiah, his five I wills, I will, culminating in, I will ascend to the Most High, I'll be like God. He didn't like submission. He and the devils who fell did not like to keep their proper habitation, their God-assigned role, which was to be ministering spirits for those who are about to inherit salvation. No, they didn't like that. What, me serve them? Huh, I'm too glorious, I'm too amazing, I'm too exalted, I'm too wonderful. They didn't like submission. Devil doesn't like submission. And so humans who are under his sway don't like submission. Fallen humans don't like it. In our age, you're more likely to hear, nobody tells me what to do. In our age, well, this is going back a few years, but maybe you'll know about this. You got Frank Sinatra's famous, infamous song, My Way. And he talks about his life and how he lived it. And the theme, the thing that repeats again and again is, I did it my way. Sounds just like the devil. I will. You can hear the hiss, my way, hiss. It's got the stench of sulfur and hell all around it. That's a horrible song. Let's do it sometime. See how horrible it is. I can remember a lack of submission in our sons. We have four sons. I was right there when they were all four born. I helped raise them. I helped change them, helped feed them, do all that stuff. No, I didn't feed them. They were nursed. Anyway, when they got old enough for food. And I can remember the first one, Nathaniel, our firstborn. He was born when we were 22. We got married at 20. 22, we had Nathan. And so he's a little guy, and I got him on the changing table. And he's big enough to begin to learn. He knows what I'm saying. He's big enough to learn things. And I would tell him, it's almost like an animal. This sounds terrible. But I'd lay him on his back on the changing table and I'd say, stay. Sounds like a dog. I'm sorry. He was my son. Stay. And the idea is you don't roll over while dad reaches down and gets the diaper and the stuff that I need and so on to clean you up and all that. And he would look at me and kind of get this look of glee on his face and go, and roll himself over. Just to be disobedient, just to rebel, just to assert himself. When he was this big, a little bambino, that was our oldest son, Nathaniel, who is a very godly man and loves the Lord Jesus Christ by the grace of God nowadays. So it starts at birth because we're all dead in our trespasses and sins, rebellion, my way, me, my will, and we don't like submission. But as I already said, I'm going to say it again. When you come to saving faith in Jesus Christ, he regenerates you. He does something for you. He forgives you of your sins and gives you everlasting life. And he does something in you. He makes you a new creature in Christ. He regenerates you. And your regenerate heart loves submission to God. And so your regenerate heart loves submission to those whom God tells you, to whom God tells you to submit. Submission to God leads you to glad, humble submission with in human relationships as designated by God. The Greek word in the New Testament was written in Greek, Greek word for submission, there are several varieties, but the main one used in passages we're going to talk about is hupotasso, compound word. Hupa is the Greek preposition that means under, and tasso is the Greek verb that means to stand. So submission means stand under. It's a term of rank. It's like it was used very much in the military in those days, but it's also used in the Bible of husbands and wives and parents and children and so on. So submission means you rank yourself, you consciously and in your heart rank yourself under that person whom God has placed over you. Yes, the Bible's not, God is not egalitarian. We're not all level. We're not all equal. There are people over us, and there are people that we're under. There are people I'm under, like my fellow elders, like government. I'm under them. And so hupotasso says, in your mind and in your soul, rank yourself under them. So a son who wants to hupotasso toward his father or his mother says, they're of higher rank than me in the home, and I'm to put myself under them. And so follow their guidance, follow their rules, follow their direction. A godly wife, same thing. A godly church member, same thing. A godly citizen, same thing. You get pulled over by the state police on I-95, and I just about don't know how fast you'd have to be going to get pulled over, because, man, do people fly on I-95. But anyway, you get pulled over, and you don't say, well, who are you? We're equals. No, actually, you're not equals. He's over you. And you are called by God to hupotasso. So in the Bible, that's the word, stand yourself under, rank yourself under. It's a word used of the military. It's a word used for Christians. Where do we find it in the Bible, and who's to be submissive to whom? Well, we have what are called the household passages, Ephesians 5 and 6, Colossians 3 and 4, 1 Peter 2, 13, and 1 Peter 3, 1 through 8. And their wives, children, slaves, and citizens, and church members are all told to submit themselves to somebody else. Again, the list is wives, children, slaves, church members, and citizens. The church members part is Hebrews 13, 17, 1 Peter 5, 5, which reads, likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. And the nation or government leaders part is Romans 13 and 1 Peter 2, 13. So again, who's to be submissive? Wives to husbands, children to parents, slaves to masters, church members to pastors, and citizens to government officials established and sent by the Lord for our good. So that's who's supposed to be submissive. If you're a wife in Christ, you're to be submissive to Christ, and that flows out in glad and joyful, that manifests itself in heartfelt as unto the Lord, submission to your husband, the one you rank yourself under him. He's head, he's over you. Same if you're a Christian young man or young woman and you have parents. Same if you're a Christian church member. Same if you're a Christian citizen. But now here's what I really want to say. All that was preface. Here's something I really want to get to. There are a number of things I want to get to. For me, this is the biggest one. This is the best one. Really want you to hear this. It's going to start with a question. Here's the question. So when does submission happen? Like, in what context do I need to be for me to be submitting? When does submission click into place? When is it really occurring? And here's the answer. Submission, I want you to understand, submission happens only when you don't like what you're being asked to do, when you don't want what you're being told to do, when you don't agree with a thing that's being imposed upon you. Submission only happens when you don't like it, you don't want it, you don't agree with it. What do I mean? Let me illustrate that. So there's you and your child. Your child's 5 years old. Your kid loves ice cream. Don't all kids love ice cream? Ice cream and pizza, right? They live on ice cream and pizza. So you say to your child, son, here's your favorite ice cream with lots of chocolate on it, and there's whipped cream on the top and some cherries. Here it is. I want you to eat it. And he picks up his spoon and he tears into that bowl of ice cream. Why? Because he loves it. It's his favorite thing. He'd eat it all day, make himself sick. Is he submitting to you? Not at all. He's doing what he loves. He would gladly eat ice. Anytime you hand it to him and say, eat it, he'll eat it. Not because he's submissive. That's not a test of it. Let's test your submission, son. Let's give you ice cream and see if you eat it when I tell you to. Now, he'll eat it 100 times out of 100. Because he loves ice cream. You don't say, oh, look at my son's submission. He's eating the ice cream that I told him to. Now, you haven't tested his submission at all. Let's take you and another adult. You really love this guy over here, and you've got an extra $10,000 sitting around doing absolutely nothing. Who has that? And you say to him one day, here's $10,000. Take it. You're telling him to take it. And he says, you know, are you sure? Really? Why? Did you talk to your wife about this and all that stuff? But ultimately you say, well, okay, I'll take it. Are you submitting to his request? Take it. Are you? Is submission in action there? Not at all. You're receiving $10,000 free for nothing. That's not submission. That's delight. Let's go back to you and your son. Now you say to him, not ice cream. Now you say to him, son, there's 3 Brussels sprouts on your plate. They're healthy. Your mama made them for you. And in our family, we're not going to do the kid gets the custom diet thing. Parents, don't give your kid a custom diet. I mean, if they need certain dietary needs, sure, understood. But just, I don't like this. Oh, well, then we'll never give it to you. No. You got to teach them to eat good food. And I know their young palate doesn't like much yet. It'll get better as they get older. But you say to your son, and I can remember saying stuff like this, son, you're going to eat those Brussels sprouts. In fact, you're not getting up from the table until you eat those Brussels sprouts. The faster you get it done, the more it's out of your life, more it's behind you. It would behoove you to eat them fast. Eat the Brussels sprouts. and your son takes his knife and takes his fork and goes and he eats the Brussels sprouts. Have you tested his submission? Yes. Why? Because he didn't really like it. He didn't really want to do it. He did it just because he was ranking himself under you, just because he was recognizing you're an authority over him when it comes to culinary things. And so he said, I'm going to render obedience to my father and my mother. I'm going to eat the Brussels sprouts. Submission happens, only happens when you don't like what's going on, when you don't agree with what's going on, when you don't want what's going on. I say this because people nowadays act like we're such individuals. We're all leveled. There's nobody over me. There's nobody under me. We're all just level. It's all egalitarian. And people act like if somebody else expects me to obey them, that would be abuse. It's abuse. They're telling me to do something I don't like. It's abuse. No, no. It's submission. It's the will of God. This is when submission happens. This is the only time that it happens. It's not abuse. It's divinely constituted authority and God-ordained submission. There is such a thing as abuse. There can be parental abuse. There can be marital abuse. There can be pastoral abuse. There can be governmental abuse. I tend to think there's lots of that. But submitting yourself to someone else to whom God tells you to submit is never, cannot ever be abuse. Here's another thing I really want to say about this. So what does you submitting to your or not submitting to your divinely constituted authorities, what does it indicate about you? It indicates a lot. It gives us a window into your soul. We can see a lot about you by how you either submit or do not submit to those whom God has placed over you, to whom you're supposed to submit yourself, hupotasso, stand yourself under them. What does your submission or lack thereof to divinely constituted authorities indicate about you? It indicates your actual, not imagine, your actual level of submission to Christ. It's easy to say, oh, I'm so submissive to Christ. Well, we can't exactly see your submission to him right now. But then he says, okay, then be submissive to your parents. Now we can see your submission to Christ. If you're really submitted to Christ, then you'll submit to his commands about you and your parents. You'll gladly, pretty easily submit to, you'll delight in submitting to your parents because you're delighting in submitting to Christ when you do that. We can see it in your earthly relationships. We can see your submission to Christ evidenced in your earthly relationships. It's just like that time in 1 John where he says, whoever says he loves God but doesn't love his brother, he's a liar and the truth isn't in him. See, we can see your love in love for your brother. You can say all day long, I love God, I love God. It's a little hard for us to see that. But we can see it tested and proven in your love for your brother. Same thing here. I submit to God. I'm submissive to God. I'm under God's authority. He's my sovereign. He's my Lord. Okay, well, he tells you to be submissive to your parents. Let's see his lordship in your life. Here's another thing I want to say about. What's submission look like? What does it look like? Here's some things it's not. It's not testy and argumentative. Now, that doesn't mean you can't have a discussion. A gracious, submissive discussion. Dad, can you, I'll do whatever you say, Dad, but can you explain to me what's the reason? It would make it easier for me if you give me the reason behind this thing. It's not testy and argumentative. It's not our endless argument to get what you want. I don't think my sister will ever listen to one of these grounded podcasts. She's a Zen Buddhist. She's not interested in this. So I don't mind mentioning that, man, with her and my parents, it was endless, testy argument. And as her brother, I really didn't appreciate that, and I didn't want to hear it. It's not that. It's not attitude. Well, I'll do it, but with an attitude. Whatever, and then you do it. Kids never say whatever to your parents. That's just disdain. Husbands and wives never say whatever to one another. Whatever. Never roll your eyes. Are you aware of the fact that sociologists or psychologists, whoever studies this stuff, tells us that if you're rolling your eyes at somebody, that is a powerful indicator of your absolute disdain for them. there are people who are really good at this. They can observe you and your husband in a room talking, and they're observing from behind glass, and they can't hear you. They're only watching your body language. And they can tell you with, I forget the number, it's in the 90s. I'm going to say it's 92% accuracy. They can tell just by looking at your body language whether that marriage is going to make it or not, whether it's going to last or whether it's about to crumble. And one of the worst things they can observe between husband and wife is somebody rolls their eyes at the other person. It ought to be rare to just about never that you would actually roll your eyes at anybody. Or throw yourself on the floor in a fit because dad said, eat the Brussels sprouts. Or throw a thing on the floor because dad said, put the toy away. And instead of putting it away, you throw it on the floor and say, whatever. Or you slam the door. You're supposed to go to your room and you slam the door on your way into the room. That's not submission. Well, I went into the room. Yeah, but you went in and slammed the door, indicating your disdain for the command, not a submissive heart toward the command. Submission is not testy and argumentative. Submission is not full of attitude. Submission is not partial. Well, I'll halfway do what you say, like Saul's obedience in the Old Testament. No, submission is a whole-souled, glad, reverent submission in mind and heart, ranking myself under Christ, and so gladly and joyfully and willingly ranking myself under those whom Christ has placed over me. It is doing in deeds and from the heart what they want me to do. It is joyful compliance. That's what submission looks like. Wives to husbands, children to parents, servants to masters, church people to pastors, citizens to the government, although we're going to see some exceptions on that before we're all done here. But now I want to talk about something that it's a myth. I want to talk about the myth of mutual submission. Have you heard about this thing? It's in marriage called mutual submission. Mutual submission, it's a myth. It comes from Ephesians chapter 5, where Paul says in verse 21, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Then he goes on to talk about wives and husbands and parents and children and servants and masters. And so they say, see, it's submitting to one another. And so wives and husbands are submitting to one another, and parents and children are submitting to one another. What folly is that? And masters and servants are submitting to one another. What folly is that? That doesn't happen. It never happened. This is not about mutual submission. It is about there's a general banner submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. And then he goes on to say, let me show you the relationships I have in mind when I say submitting to one another. And there are only certain ones that are to be submitting. And it's wives to husbands. He never says husbands submit to wives. It's children to parents. He never says parents submit to children. He has directives for the husbands. He has directives for the parents. He has directives for the masters. But they're never be submissive to your slaves or your servants. It's never husbands be submissive to your wife. It's never parents be submissive to your children. What folly that would be. No, it's a myth, the idea of mutual submission. Instead, he says to the wives, to the children, to the servants, to the citizens, to the church members, be submissive to those whom God has placed over you. The mutual submission thing in Ephesians 5 is a myth. Don't you fall for it, please. Now I want to talk to parents for a minute. Some thoughts for parents, some notes for parents. Parents, I know this isn't going to sound right in 2024, but here it is. You are expected by God and by us to teach your children, please teach your children, to submit to you and to obey you. You owe it to them that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the land, son. This is good for you if I teach you how to submit yourself to my authority in your life. God ordained it that way. You are expected for their benefit, for our benefit, for everybody's blessing, to teach your children to submit to you and to obey you. You owe it to the world. I'm going to put it kind of in a backwards way. Please save us from your children if you haven't taught them to submit to you. Because you love them so much, they might seem cute to you. You might kind of adore what they're doing when they're being all rascally. But I can pretty well guarantee you, nobody else is. Part of your job is to save us from your children when they're in disobedient, not submissive mode, and to give us joy in your children because they're so submissive and obedient to you. It's not child abuse to train them to do what you say when you say it cheerfully. No, it's expected by God. And you'll really bless them. You'll do them much good in their lives upon the earth. And other people will love being around you and them. Parent, you are not a tyrant for teaching them, training them, expecting them to actually render you first-time cheerful obedience. That was always our standard. We got that phrase from somebody else. That's the goal. We didn't always get it. But that was what we're aiming for, first-time cheerful obedience. I can remember once it was our second son, Aaron. He's part of the church. You can make fun of him about this if you want. And he was being disobedient and rebellious and didn't want to do what we said. And he was crying. And then he said, I am obeying you. And I said, yeah, but we want cheerful obedience. He said, it is cheerful obedience. I took him in the bathroom and had him look in the mirror. Said, does that face look cheerful to you? And he had to admit it did not. First time cheerful obedience. You're not a tyrant. You're blessing them. You're doing them good. You're training them to submit to God with first time cheerful obedience. And you're training them for life in the world, where they're going to have a boss who isn't always just, where they're going to have a spouse who doesn't always treat them right. You won't damage them for teaching them to submit to you. On the contrary, you're slacking if you don't. You should be able to say to them, don't touch that, and they don't. You should be able to say, wait there quietly, and they will. With no attitude, with no whatever, you can train them and you can get there. It's a marathon. It's not a sprint. You have years to do it. You're going to have to revisit it and revisit it and revisit it. Early on, it will probably require some spankings. Scripture endorses spankings. Pastor Steve, did you and Debbie spank? Of course, because the Bible talks about the judicious, self-controlled, loving use of the rod of correction, we like to call it. Early on, it will probably require some spankings. I think in many cases, kids vary. One kid, maybe you never spank because a look was always sufficient. Just a look, and their heart tucks right under you. Okay. We had a range of kids, with our four sons, man, it was a range of how they respond. And one of them, I don't think we ever spanked him much because we just didn't need to. But it would probably require some spankings early on. That's the last thing you want to do. If a word or if a look will accomplish the end, then do it with a look. If a word will accomplish it, some kids melt with a word. If a touch accomplishes it, if maybe like they're reaching for the food that's on your plate and you just take your finger and flick their hand with it, and if that's enough, that's enough. You don't need to go to paddles unless you really need to go to paddles. But early on, it would probably require some spankings. All right. Be careful when and where you do it. Nowadays, I mean that. Be careful when and where you do it. I also want to suggest that you want to discipline them for attitude. They are to be submissive to you in attitude and in heart. And insubordinate attitudes are worse than insubordinate actions. When they say, whatever, that's an attitude. When they roll their eyes, that's an attitude. When they slam the door, that's an attitude. When they take the brother's toy and you say, give it back, it's stealing. You're stealing. They're violating the command. You shall not steal. You shall not covet is also probably being violated. And they take it and they throw it on the floor. That ought to really get your attention. That's an insubordinate attitude. We would discipline for attitudes. Absolutely. You bet. Jordan Peterson, the well-known psychologist of our day, chimes in, quote, don't let them do anything that will make you not like them. Or make others not like them. That's good. But even better, don't let them disobey. Don't let them violate the will of God. Teach them to respect God's authority by respecting your authority. You say, man, this sounds like a lot of work. Yeah, initially, but only till you're established in this. And then we would always tell, when they're starting to misbehave again, we realize we're being inconsistent. And they're getting our inconsistency. And so we've got to work on ourselves again to become consistent in how we work with them. And then things would get better again. Those were some notes for parents and children. Here's some notes for wives. Ephesians 5:22. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Love those words, crucial words. Do it as to the Lord. Verse 23, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands, Ephesians 5, 22 and 23. The Bible is very clear. The wife is to hupatasso, to rank herself under. She should consciously and in her heart love and think, that man outranks me in this family. God has placed him over me. I'm under his authority. I just happened to be reading through the book Numbers in my morning Bible reading the other day, and I noticed in Numbers chapter 5 and verse 19, it speaks to the wife and says, if this and that happened while you were under your husband's authority, then dot, dot, dot. It came up again, Numbers 5:20, though you were under your husband's authority. It came up again in Numbers 5:29, when a wife, though under her husband's authority, dot, 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 dot. The Bible says the husband's head of the wife. The wife is to rank herself under him, and she is actually under her husband's authority. That just sounds so strange in our day, and I wonder how many godly Christian wives really get it, really embrace it, and really love it out of submission to God. It might be hard to find. You want to marry a Christian woman. It might be hard to find a Christian woman who gets this and who loves this, because the spirit of feminism has been sown so deeply in our culture. But we're in Christ, and we follow Christ, and we follow the Word of God. And so you want to learn the will of God for you as a wife. The husband is your head, like Christ is head. Ephesians 5, 1 Corinthians 11, 3. You are to be subject to the husband as to the Lord. So when you're looking at your husband and he's saying, no, baby girl, I don't think we should buy the new rug now. You don't want to go, whatever, fine, slam the door. No, no, no. You see Christ behind him, authorizing him to say, no, baby girl, I love you. We've talked about it. I've listened. I don't think we ought to buy the rug right now. By the way, husbands, if you've invested a lot in the bank of giving, 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 you're supposed to love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for you. If you're giving, 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 giving to that woman all you can, all the time that makes sense, all the time that's reasonable, it's probably a rare opportunity when you have to say to her, baby doll, I'm sorry. Don't think we can buy that rug right now. And you ought to have enough cash in the bank with her that'll be fine. But if you're always like micromanaging her life, please don't do that. You're always telling her, know this, know that, and you're making every decision for her. Poor woman. Don't treat her that way. That's not loving her as Christ loves the church. Let's talk for a minute about submission to pastors. In the Word of God, God calls his people to be submissive to their pastors. Let me give you two verses on that. Hebrews 13, 17. It ups the ante beyond submission. It says, obey your leaders and submit to them. Let me remind you, that only clicks in, that it's only occurring when they're asking you to do something, telling you to do something that you don't like, you don't want, and you don't agree with. Well, they're asking me to do something I don't agree with. Well, that's when submission happens. Hebrews 13, 17, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch for your souls. Let them do this with joy and not with sorrow or grief, for that would be unprofitable to you. It is unprofitable to fill your pastors with sorrow because of all the grief. And 1 Peter 5, 5, likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. He's been talking about elders, pastors, overseers. And then he says, likewise, you who are younger, be subject to them. Church is not democratic. The elders are not the representatives of the people. The elders are representatives of Christ to the people. They are representatives who minister the word to the people. And there ought to be many things wise pastors will air out with the people, discuss with the people, hear the people, be sensitive to the thoughts and needs of the people. But the elders can't please all the people all the time. They have to make decisions. People are pushing this way and other people are pulling that way, and the elders have to make a decision. Let them do it with joy. There are usually believers in any average church who need to work on this, just as there are certainly pastors who need to work on leading better and more graciously and with more love. Let's talk finally, about submission to government. Submission to government. Romans 13 and 1 Peter 2, you'll find submission to government. Here's what I want to talk about for a minute. But are there limits? Are there exceptions? Yes, there are. Can you give us some examples? Yes. Let me give you an example. Moses' parents. Now, the Pharaoh had said, when you have a son, you got to kill him. Moses' parents didn't. They hid baby Moses. And read the New Testament commentary on that. It's in Hebrews chapter 11, where they are extolled, and it is said that by faith they hid baby Moses from Pharaoh. So they're acting by faith in disobeying the government when the government says, kill your son. By faith, they were honoring God and refusing to obey government. There are limits. What about the Egyptian midwives, Exodus 1, 1 through 21? It's a funny story. Pharaoh's upset, he and his guys, and they say, how come the babies are being born to the Hebrew women? And the midwives said, well, they have their babies so fast, we can't get there in time, we can't deal with it. That wasn't the true story. But they were doing a good thing, disobeying government. How about Hebrews 11? Rahab hid and sent away the messengers. She hid messengers from the government and sent them away. Sent the government away in a wrong direction as well. Hebrews 11. She's extolled for that. She's a woman of faith. She's disobeying government. How about Acts 5:29, when the government said, stop preaching? And what did the apostle say? Sorry, we must obey God rather than man. We can't stop preaching. How about Acts 9:25? The authorities want, I love this. This is my favorite one, maybe. The authorities wanted to apprehend and arrest the apostle Paul. Does Paul obey government and turn himself in? He's the guy who wrote Romans 13. Be submissive to your government. Does he turn himself in? No. Paul is let down in a basket through a window in the wall. That's got to be what? That's evading arrest. That's obstruction of justice. And Paul participated in it. He said, we're not letting the government get me. We're not obeying the government in this. I'm not turning myself in. I'm getting in a basket. And they're going to lower me with a rope down over the wall. And in church history, we could have many examples. I'll give you just one here from Martin Luther. Back in the 1500s, Martin Luther was threatened by the government. He took the papal bull of his excommunication and he publicly burned it. That's Martin Luther. He burned it. They excommunicated him. He immediately went into hiding at the Wartburg Castle, under the protection of Elector Frederick of Saxony. That's obstruction of justice. That's evading arrest. Martin Luther did that to the glory of God. Now I'm going to make it a little bit more dicey. What about Grace Community Church when, during COVID, Gavin Newsom said, all right, casinos or whatever can be open. The places that sell alcohol can be open. Mostly peaceful marches and things, protests can be open, but churches are closed. He wasn't dealing with an even hand. Churches are closed. And Grace Community Church said, sorry, we're opening. And a lot of Christians said, you're not obeying government. I think they were doing exactly what Moses' parents did, what the Egyptian midwives did, what Rahab did, what the apostles did, what Martin Luther did, and saying, now we're going to obey God rather than a man who is not treating us fair-handedly here. We're going to keep our services open. I'm on Grace Church's side. In fact, I'd say if another pandemic hit, and they say, shut down your church and we're going to keep you shut for a long, long time. Once we figure out that it's not really dangerous, it didn't take long to figure out that COVID wasn't really dangerous for that matter, then I think I'd be saying, sorry, we must obey God rather than men. Let's open. Wouldn't want to compel people to come, but lots of people would want to and they could. Submission. James chapter 4, verse 7. Submit yourselves to God. Submit yourselves to God. That's the Christian life. The entire Christian life is one lived in submission to God. We certainly rank ourselves under Him. I'm way under God, right? And so I'm way under anybody to whom He tells me to place myself. Under those people, under those institutions. Submission is something Christians should be really good at. We should glory in. We should delight in. So submit yourself to God and to those whom He places over you with joy. to the glory of God and the good of your soul. Amen. Thanks for listening.